What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Following on from last week's exploration of Eros and those explicit words from Song of Songs, we're now on safer ground with a story about a different kind of love, philia, friendship. C.S. Lewis describes philia as being like the bread you crumble almost unconsciously during a long dinner. Unlike Eros, there is no burning passion. And in contrast to storge, family love, there is no blood ties that bind us together. In philia, in friendship, we stand with our friends through a matter of choice. And so our story today illustrates the actions of friends. This familiar tale of healing is a popular one of those Sunday school staples. Often when looking at this story, we concentrate on the man being healed. But I want us to think this morning about his friends. These friends who went to extraordinary lengths to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Jesus was in the house meeting with Pharisees. The friends can't get in through the door. The room is too crowded. And so they deconstruct the roof and lower him in. Jesus is impressed. And with a quick, "Your sins are forgiven, my friend," the man is healed. And the Pharisees are furious. It's worth remembering that in this culture, there was a direct connection in most people's understanding between illness and sinfulness. If you were afflicted with an illness or a condition such as paralysis, then it was an outward sign of your inner life and a clear indication that you were cursed because of your or your ancestors' sinful ways. In a culture that had a strong element of purity and a sense of ritual cleanliness, you would be pushing against those cultural norms to associate yourself with someone with an outward manifestation of sin. Yet these friends of the paralyzed man do stay with him. They turn themselves towards the challenges he is facing. They do this alongside him and are determined to help find healing. This is philia. The friends are not going to get anything out of this action themselves other than ridicule, accusations of associating with someone who is clearly cursed, and perhaps a hefty bill for the roof repair. Yet they do it anyway. That is friendship. They do it for the benefit that their friend will accrue. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We help people not for anything we might gain, but for the difference our actions will make to those we care about. I remember helping one friend pack to go on holiday. She was in the throes of a breakdown. And the simple act of counting out the right numbers of pairs of knickers she would need and ensuring she had at least two complete sets of clothes made a huge difference. Jesus, in healing the friend, upset the Pharisees. Healing on a Sunday was wrong. This man's condition was as a result of his or his ancestors' sins, they thought. But Jesus didn't care. His concern was that this man might walk again. Standing by in friendship, prepared to stand up against the elite, doing the right thing. This is what friendship can call us to do. Jesus saw the faith that the man's friends had in him. They had brought their friend to Jesus in faith, and in faith they had brought their friend to be healed. Now, there is, of course, a possibility that we might think we are saying and doing the right thing. We might think we know what is best for our friends. A friend and colleague who is profoundly deaf wrote a reflection on this for our writing group, and Mary wrote these words. "Don't get me wrong. I know it's great that God can heal like the paralytic man with his friends. Don't get me wrong, I know you mean well, wanting me to be healed. But you never asked if I wanted to be healed. Instead, you rushed up to pray over me. My apologies for pushing you away. Don't get me wrong. God accepts me as I am. I am who I am, and I love myself. I don't know any different. It would be a big shock for me if suddenly I had to change from the world I've always known. I would have to learn everything again. Don't get me wrong. I believe God has a special plan for me. Don't get me wrong. I would like to hear, but I don't want to be healed. The danger is that we see and measure what life should be by what we know and experience. Mary has a good life just as she is, and a powerful ministry that extends well beyond the deaf community to which she is minister. And I'm blessed to know Mary just as she is, and I wouldn't change her. That choice, if ever offered, is hers to make. Because friendship is all about acceptance. Acceptance of people as they are. Acceptance of people who are different. Loving them for who they are and not what we might want them to be. It's a love not based on blood ties or physical attraction. It's a love based on a shared respect, sometimes shared interests, but often that shared interest is just what brings us together. We can probably all think of people that we are friends of with because of a shared interest, but I'm guessing there are also people we can think of that we don't like or see as friends despite a shared interest. Friends are about standing by people when they need you. One of the saddest things about our world is the number of people living with a variety of mental health issues. For someone with a mental health problem, one of the biggest ways we can help is just to be their friend, to stand alongside them and be there. Not to try and fix them, but just for them to know that they have people who care. The same goes for folk who are bereaved or facing a life-changing or life-limiting illness. Friends stick with people in these circumstances. To know you have people standing with you in the darkest times is a huge help. Of course, friendships also have happy, happy times. We will all have special memories of time spent with our friends, times of laughter and real joy, stories of which we tell over the years, over and over again, and maybe some stories that remain untold beyond that group. Friends come in all shapes and sizes. Social media often throws up cute videos of animals that are traditionally seen as enemies, helping each other or snuggling down together. Cats and dogs. One of my favourites recently has been one of a beagle with a duck. Social media this week threw up a different example of friendship. And this came out of the awful shooting at Christchurch. One of my favourite images was of a Christian man standing outside his local mosque. Andrew Greyston from Levenshulme stood outside his local mosque last Friday with a placard that simply said, "You are my friends. I will keep watch while you pray." This is a fine example of friendship. And there were many gestures like that around the world. People of different faith traditions coming out to support their Muslim friends and neighbours. I told you last Sunday that I had emailed the local mosques here in Aberdeen with a message of condolence and solidarity. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that I received replies from both, thanking us for taking the time to let them know that we were thinking about them. It mattered to them that their neighbours, albeit of a different faith tradition, cared enough to be in touch. We also received an invitation, which I shared on our Facebook page and Graham shared with the elders, to an event yesterday at one of the mosques. I had a call from the Masjid Al-Hikmah community inviting me to say a few words at that event. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to, as I'd already committed to be at the conference. But had I been free, I would have been there, ready to continue to build friendships with our Muslim brothers and sisters. And I'm pleased to say that I know a few of the folks that are here this morning were there yesterday. Thank you for going along. You see, friendship doesn't exclude. Having friends from across the community is important. It's healthy. I worry about people whose circles are narrow. I once listened to a sermon where the preacher told his listeners that we should only be true friends with other Christians, and that marrying outside the faith was wrong. It was the most uncomfortable I have ever felt listening to a sermon, because I'm blessed by my non-Christian friends. I'm blessed to be able to see the world through their eyes, and I hope that the feeling is mutual. Another image that floats around social media from time to time and was circulating again this week has these words on it. A Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a pagan, and an atheist walk into a coffee shop, and they talk, laugh, drink coffee, and become good friends. It's not a joke. It's just what happens when you're not an ass. Jesus and his friends went through a huge amount together, the stories of which we find in the Gospels. But we don't know it all. We aren't told all of it. And they stick together, though, through everything. A group of people with a common bond that's held together in friendship. And yet could you find a more diverse group? Jesus, we know from his life, reached out and touched the lives of many, often those at the margins. There was no one out with the scope of his love. There is no one excluded now from being part of his group of friends. In the same way, there is no one excluded from being part of our community of faith. We are, or at least should be, friends together, ready to stand by each other when need be. And standing by our brothers and sisters of the world is something I know that the folks here in Cults do well and demonstrate time and time again. We are an outward-looking church, looking for ways to help our neighbours near and far. You only have to look at the response to the various appeals that are made for the food banks, the retirement offerings we have, the monies raised at coffee mornings, and at Christmas time in our special services. The sport shown to the children of Jam when raising funds for toilet twinning, and more recently, the way you made short shift of the mountain of rice that they had to sell. You are a generous congregation, and it's with that in mind that I hesitate to ask slightly more of you. But hidden behind the Brexit headlines this last week has been the terrible disaster in Africa. An estimated 2.6 million people have been affected by the cyclone in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. At least 550 people, according to Christian Aid, have been killed, and some 400,000 have lost their homes, with the devastating toll expected to keep on rising. Those affected, especially those in remote areas, are in desperate need of food, water, clothing, shelter, and medicine. Christian Aid is acting as part of the Disasters Emergency Committee to raise urgent funds, working with their local partners on the ground in Zimbabwe and Malawi. Christian Aid are helping to provide much needed emergency assistance. Now, you may well have already donated funds to help with this disaster, but if you haven't, I wonder if you might consider contributing something to Christian Aid's appeal. Maureen has left some gift aid envelopes around the sanctuary, should you wish to donate. When you give so generously as you do, you are showing your concern and love for your friends under God. This is what philia looks like in practice: helping, caring, standing by, supporting, loving people who share the same sky as we do. God's love is for everyone, no one excluded, no one beyond the reach of that love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Amen.